you for joining us for another episode of the Underdogs of Animal Welfare. Again, my name is Michael Bricker. In today's episode, we have Waylon. Waylon has been at Palm Valley Animal Center for at least the past couple of years, and he's been in a bunch of different positions. So this is going to be an amazing episode. Again, thank you so much for listening, and here we go. All right, so Waylon, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
And I also forgot to mention, we are joined by Luis Quintanilla, our executive producer. He wants to be called executive producer of this podcast. So Luis, how are you?
Good. It's a lot of pressure now.
It definitely is. Yeah. So if these podcasts are not produced to your liking from this point on, you know who to contact. It's actually Luis Q at pvactx.org for all of your complaints. If you have compliments, that's Mike at pvactx.org. So thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Perfect. So Waylon, I want to just jump right in this. So first, can you introduce yourself? Tell me a little bit, you know, your current title, your current department, those type of things.
Well, I'm Waylon. I've been here for 2 years, like you said. Right now, I am cat intake supervisor. I lead a staff of about 4 people. Right now, we're emphasizing catching up on cleaning protocols, everything like that, and making sure our cats are being tended to the best of our abilities.
Amazing. And so I alluded to it a little bit in the intro, but how long have you been at PVAC?
I've been with PVAC for 2 years. I was hired in 2017, August.
And tell me about your progression from that point till now.
So I started off in adoptions, what we have now, but when I started, we didn't have adoptions in the front.
Adoptions were actually closed at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
We were kennel techs in the front, and we would tend to the dogs until they were ready to move to Paws, which was our only adoption facility at the time.
Okay.
From there, I went to medical. I was under our medical supervisor, Melissa, and we learned a lot of stuff back there, vaccinating, heartworm testing, a lot of stuff that we had to go over back then. Huge intakes, as you know, and taking care of all those animals that were coming in. From there, I went to Cat Flow Lead, which was a new position that was made when our friends at Austin Pets Alive came down and helped us. We started with me and Jackie, and we would pretty much just try to figure out that position as we went because it was brand new to us. And then this year, we went to Full Shelter Flow, which was that was my new position in January, which was just basically moving all the animals, creating space, and making sure space was optimal and maximized to the best of our abilities. Excuse me. And now I am back in cat intake as a supervisor.
Cool. So yeah, Waylon has a little cold. We gave him a piece of gum. He told us that would help out, and it doesn't seem to be helping.
You also have to breathe,
right? He forgot the breathing part. Well, that's good. So that's a lot of information. So you went from, let me see if I got this right, adoptions to medical to cat.
Right.
From cat to cat lead. From that position, you jumped over to flow, which is where you've been predominantly for the last year.
Right.
Since I've been here. So, you know, when I first met you, you were the cat lead, and then when that flow position opened up, we put you there, and you did amazing work there. Can you tell me more? Because I don't think, you know, that position is maybe not even necessary in some shelters that are smaller, but specifically since we have two separate locations, can you tell me more about what that animal flow position was and how it helped our facility?
Right. So flow basically was moving a lot of animals, cats and dogs. And that basically ends up helping out both our intake staff, our adoption staff, and sometimes our foster and rescue staffs as well. Flow is like a designated transporter, I would say, for the animals in the facility. I think it opens up more time for everybody to clean correctly. But I think the main responsibility of flow was moving all the animals and choosing to the best of our ability the best way for these animals to get an outcome positively. And, you know, we would just, I think it's really necessary here because there's so many animals and we are so spread out on this facility that not a lot of people get to have their eyes everywhere to see where these animals should go and how they should be moved about the facility. So in a sense, it's really important to kind of move under the radar while everybody else keeps doing their thing for the best of the animals, you know, outcomes, and see how they're gonna get communicated out to the community and our life-saving partners.
Perfect. So really, you are controlling where animals go and when they go there to ensure that every animal gets seen.
Right.
And that we're fast-tracking those animals that we know have the highest chance of getting adopted. We're getting them right up to the adoption stages. And then also just making sure that animals are being placed in their kennels appropriately, that we're limiting on cross-contamination and all those things, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, that's very cool. And then recently, you were just promoted to the cat intake supervisor or cat team supervisor.
Right.
So, now, Waylon, you've already done a bunch of cool things in that role, and we're going to get to that.
Uh-huh.
But first, I want to kind of go back. Can you tell me about, like, how did you first hear about a job opening at PVAC?
Well, I had actually had been working with a gentleman that used to work here, and he was working with me in construction at the time, and he went ahead and got a job over here. And I've always loved animals myself, so I said, hey, buddy, can you get me a job there? And he ended up, you know, talking to some of the supervisors that were here at the time. And he got me in right away, and you know, I was very happy for the opportunity to work with animals.
That's amazing. So you heard about it from a friend of yours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you went from construction to cats.
Right, yes. Construction to cats.
that's a pretty neat transition.
Yeah,
so,
it's very fun.
So tell me a little bit about that. Is there anything that you've brought with you from your construction background that has helped out?
I think a lot of just the being able to scale rooms and feel measurements of what, you know, like in some particular times where you ask me to measure a room,
yeah,
or where we have to put a certain amount of kennel banks in a van or in a room, I feel like
so
me
just
knowing
measuring that
right,
space,
right, being able to know the dimensions of rooms really helps me a lot.
That's awesome. So. If you can remember, walk me through your first day on the job.
My first day, I was with one of our supervisors at the time for adoptions. His name is Albert. And he introduced me to one of our other coworkers, and he explained to me that I was going to be doing quarantine dogs. I would be subbing in for the person that did quarantine dogs on his days off. I was very confused because I didn't know what a quarantine dog was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never...
Well, explain to the audience, what is a quarantine dog?
So a quarantine dog is basically a bite case, or at that time, even a scratch case of a dog or cat, where they are put on a rabies observation and brought to our shelter for 10 days to see if there's any signs of rabies or anything like that. They're having a quarantine period.
So your first job, with really no other animal handling experience,
right,
was with
quarantine animals.
With our quarantine dogs.
Right.
Wow, okay.
Right.
All right, great.
So yeah, a lot of things were different back then, so they had to teach me, you know, the catch pole and making sure I protect myself more than anything in those kennels.
Yeah.
So it was very, very, very strange to have that as my first thing to do, but it ultimately, you know, it taught me about behavior and how animals can act when
yeah,
they're scared, and you know, how to be cautious around animals that need to be, you know, treated with a little more respect.
Yeah.
Per se.
Wow. Holy moly.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts? I mean, tell me more about that. So you come in, fresh out of construction, coming to work with some animals, and the first animals they put you with are animals that you know have bitten other people.
Right.
So walk me through that. Like, what was your thought process?
Well, at first I kind of brushed it off, but once I saw the animals and they explained to me a little bit more, when I learned what a quarantine dog was, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little scared, and I wanted to make I wanted to make sure that I, you know, knew everything I needed to do, because I didn't want to mess up and get the animal in more trouble and get myself in trouble.
Gotcha.
And what really was hard back then was cleaning the quarantine cats, because we didn't have very many good protocols back then to clean quarantine cats, and they were pretty crazy.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. So all right. So your first two jobs are working with, you know, some difficult dogs and some difficult cats.
Right.
At what point did you realize that you actually wanted to work more in depth with the cats?
I've always liked cats, and I love dogs as well, but I feel like a connection with cats. So, I mean, working in quarantine, actually, it gave me an eye-opener, because I remember there was this little calico cat that I used to tend to, and it was just a little kitten, and it was in our quarantine for a scratch.
Wow.
And at the time, like I said, things were very different. This little cat didn't do really much anything. It was a super sweet cat, and unfortunately had to be in our shelter for about 20 days because we couldn't move it anywhere. And I fell in love with this cat. I named her Clarissa, the calico cat.
Yeah.
And I took pictures of her, and, you know, I unfortunately don't remember what happened to her. I wasn't there the day they took her, so I never really found out what happened to her. But ever since then, seeing a small cat that I don't think would harm her, like a baby, nothing.
Yeah.
Seeing it in there really hurt, and I felt more connected to animals then, because it hurt me to see such a beautiful young cat, you know, taking, you know, time to not be able to thrive or have a fun life. It's just really hard.
Wow. So we don't know if Clarissa made it out?
Right. I was not in quarantine the days she was taken out, so I never got an update, unfortunately. I hope she went to adoptions or got rescued, but I cannot. I was still kind of new, so I didn't know the processes back then.
Gotcha. Man.
Yeah.
So you keep mentioning, like, you know, the old days and things how they were before. So, before myself and Best Friends Animal Society arrived, did you know anything about Best Friends?
I did not know. I have never heard of it.
Makes sense. And then what about me? Did you receive any correspondence that I was going to be coming, like an email, or did anybody tell you that I was coming?
When you came, I believe I was already a lead in Cat Flow.
Yeah.
So I believe you were brought up in a meeting, and they let us know that you were going to come down and help us out.
And I always have to tell people, like, please be as honest as possible when I ask this next question. But what were your first impressions of either myself or as Best Friends as a whole?
Well, I didn't have any negative things. I felt like we just needed to, you know, catch you up, because I felt that we needed to make sure that you knew what was going on here. I mean, it's not no disrespect or anything. Yeah. But we had been experienced a lot of stuff, and I just wanted to make sure, you know, I didn't personally do it, but I wanted to know that you were on board and knew what you were getting yourself into.
Well, thank you for that. So, let's talk more in depth about that. So, like, what are some of the things that were going on that you wanted to make sure that I knew?
Well, I mean, just how we were, you know, having so many animals in our intake and, you know, cramming them in there the ways that we shouldn't have. You know, I wanted you to know that there was overpopulation within our kennels, and that it was very scarce and very, very hard to deal with. And I know you saw the numbers of our intake, and I knew you came in knowing a lot of stuff, but, you know, being hands-on, which you are, it really helped out a lot with, you know, putting at ease to me and a lot of coworkers, to our minds. But that was really important, that I felt like you needed to know how much congestion we had in the back with our animals.
So, can you kind of put a picture into people's minds of how our cat kennels were set up back then and the rooms, and maybe then talk about some of the changes now?
Right, so we had three rooms in the back in our cat intake. They're about, I don't know, like 10 feet wide and about 20 feet across, roughly. We had about, I'm going to say about 20 to 30 banks in each room with stacks of crates. And these are tiny rooms with a bathroom inside of it. We had our cat intake inside of one of our rooms, and we just had our kennel banks and then stacks and stacks of kittens in in cages. And I don't think our inventory was very accurate at the time. We had so many things going on, but at some points we would have, you know, in our inventory about 530 animals. I believe it was a little less, but I wouldn't put it to 530. I felt like we had 400 sometimes crammed in those small rooms, and it was really hard to see all those animals because it was just not a place to be for an animal to thrive, for an animal to feel good at all, you know. It was just stacks and stacks of animals.
You guys used to have to double up adults too, right?
We had triple up adults sometimes.
And these are adults that never knew each other before, right? So these are adult cats that
different communities.
You know, one of maybe came from, you know, Edinburgh, the other one came from Callan, the third came from Palmview, and now they're all sharing
together,
cats,
right?
Sharing cage space.
Yes, I remember when I first went in there, I was trying to interact with some cats, some adults, and well, they had to let me know, you know, those are two feral cats in that den, or in that bank.
Yeah.
So don't put your hands in there.
Wow.
So it was two feral cats sharing a small kennel.
My goodness.
And it stressed them out. It made it even worse.
I can only imagine, yeah, the fights that would happen between the cats.
Right.
And the danger to staff, like you mentioned.
Right.
Wow. So, I guess that paints a picture. I mean, you're right. We were getting in at that time anywhere from like 12 to 15,000 cats a year, and all of those cats were really finding themselves in just one of those three rooms, at least for the first 3 days that they were here during their stray hold.
Right.
Sometimes much longer. So, yeah, floor-to-ceiling crates, and that's exactly what I walked into when I came in July in 2018. So, since then, there's been a lot of incredible changes, right?
Right.
What changes have stood out to you the most?
I really liked that we had a staging area for a long time. I feel like it really helped.
Explain what a staging area is.
So, aside from our three rooms, we went ahead and took out one of our smaller rooms that had the most traffic. We got those cats and we put the banks in a staging area, which is a middle area away from our intake. So it was an area to have the animals staging to get ready for adoptions or other outcomes, rescue or however they were going to go out.
And before you continue, I want to talk a little bit more about that since we have Luis here. So, you know, that staging area that Waylon is talking about, they're... Rescue had their office in this space, and one of the decisions I made when I first got here was to move Rescue out of their office space and move them to one of our front buildings upstairs and put them with a bunch of other employees as well. So they went from having their own office space to having to share with sometimes 10 other people. So
I felt like one of those cats. Like, how dare you pair me up with somebody else? I didn't want to look at them. I wanted my corner. You're stressing me out.
So that's funny. So yeah. So, that's great. So that's, I was gonna ask you how you felt. So you felt like one of those cats that we were trying to give more space to. You felt like we were taking some space around you.
Yeah, my claws were out, and I was so angry. I was charging at every door,
every caretaker.
Yeah,
awesome.
The main issue of, you know, why I didn't like moving initially was the fact that that office was surrounded by the kennels.
Yeah,
which is the animals, you know, they were the ones that we were advocating for. So I thought, well, now I'm gonna have to walk to the back of the 5 acres, across all 5 acres when it's flooded and disgusting, 105 degrees, just to, you know, do my work that I can just walk out the door from. But the there was such a bad like mouse problem that when you slam that door, like rat droppings would just fall from the ceiling.
Yeah.
So it wasn't totally a bad thing to move out of there. And I know, like, once we set up more community cats on property, that rodent problem was eliminated.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
And actually, one of our episodes coming up is going to be with that community cat team.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to talk about our cats here. Well, cool. I just wanted to get your impression of that move. So we created space. So we moved people around to create more space for the cats, and that's that staging area that Waylon's talking about. So it's, it was two additional rooms, pretty large in size, that we were able to put more cats, and it served as like a pre-adoption. So cats would go there, and they're ready, and they're the next to move to one of our two adoption. One of our two adoption areas, whether that be adoptions at PVAC, because we did open those back up, or adoptions at Paul's.
Right.
Perfect. So that's one of the biggest changes that you really liked. What else?
Right. I mean, that's one of the ones that has been in place for a while, and we recently got rid of it because, you know, we are good again, and we are at a great number. So I think more recently, I mean, our community cat program, that's amazing. I think that's one of the best things that's ever happened to us.
Yeah. And cats. And for the cats.
Right, for the cats.
Yeah, so the community cat program, so Waylon says that we got rid of staging, so that area we're actually going to repurpose. So we don't, we have no cages or cage banks in there yet. We're going to repurpose that for some pretty exciting life-saving programs that we're going to put in there for cats, but we would have never been able to make that space if it weren't for Waylon and his team, you know, making sure that those animals are safe, happy, and healthy to move on to adoptions, and then for our community cat staff, who's been able to get a bunch of cats back to where they came from, happy, healthy, fixed, ear-tipped, and all those things. So with those two things, we've been able to create space, and it just looks so much better.
Right.
So that brings me into your role now, right? You're the cat team supervisor. So what are some new things that you've instituted that we haven't been able to do in the past?
Well, I mean, for right now, I mean, the obvious one is enrichment. And I feel that we have more time in our schedules to begin enrichment.
So talk about enrichment. What exactly is enrichment?
Right, so we're just trying to make a better environment for our cats. With all the animals that are leaving in CCP, our community cat program, and all the animals that were able to move to adoptions, our enrichment and is leaning more towards the cats that we have left behind, which is our smaller cats, our kittens, our cats that are owner surrenders, but they're not as friendly. So the plan is to make their lives in our facility, in our intake area, a lot more you know, inhabitable than it used to be. So moving forward, we've put in these plans to overall just get these cats healthy in a means of just bettering their everyday life with the enrichment.
Perfect. So that's new toys, new scents,
right?
Music, socialization time.
Exactly.
We talked about, you know, making sure that, which isn't truly enrichment, but something else that you've been able to do since we had that space, bathing those kittens that come in that are maybe have, you know, fleas, or if they're just dirty, you know, making sure that they're taken care of as well. So that's amazing. I mean, you know, you actually just showed me your enrichment schedule today, and I'm super impressed. I mean, I think enrichment is something that I couldn't wait to be able to get started, but I knew, you know, with the amount of staff that we have, you know, you have one of our smaller teams, and with the time and everything, it was really difficult for you guys to be able to do that. But now I'm so proud of you and the team making sure that these cats are getting these things that they really need. So that's awesome. So this job is incredibly, you know, emotional, intense at times. What has this work taught you about yourself?
I think working with animals has taught me that I can be emotional and it's okay.
Because
I'm not usually an emotional person. So, I mean, I've had a lot of animals. I've always told myself, you know, from when I started, you know, a lot of people warned me, hey, you know, don't get attached to these animals, you know, back then. As another back then, you know, we saw animals go in ways that we didn't want to, and a lot of the time for a long time I carried myself with, hey, don't get attached to these animals, and you know just do your job and do what you can to make sure these animals have the best chance.
Yeah.
And I found out that it's okay to get attached to animals and feel emotion for animals, even though we just recently started, you know, increasing our rates of live release and having a better environment for all of our animals. I was able to tell myself it's okay to feel at work, you know.
Definitely.
to be able to have a connection with animals and get to interact the way that we all should, you know, and especially right now it's so good to have the space and time to be able to interact with the animals that we love and we care for every day.
Talk about time. I mean,
yeah.
Just a few months ago, do you think you would have had the time to even do this podcast?
No, definitely not.
Right. Yeah, and I think that you hit upon a thing that I think a lot of people in animal welfare struggle with at first, right? Is building that attachment with animals is super difficult when you know that the chance is greater for them to not make it out alive, you know?
Yeah.
But now that we're on the other side of that hump and we are doing everything that we possibly can to ensure that they get out alive, it definitely is much easier to make those connections. And by making those connections, I feel that we start to advocate even harder for some of these animals. So,
right.
I think that is a struggle that a lot of people in animal welfare have.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, this is a unique line of work. You know, we don't do this for the money, obviously. We do it because it's easy, but it is very rewarding.
Right.
Have there been any times in your career in animal welfare that made you think, like, wow, I can't believe I'm living this moment right now? Like, this is what I do for work?
Right. Well, I guess a lot of it happened when I was in Shelter Flow. A lot of times when we would have adoption specials or stuff like that, where we were waiving fees or just getting as many animals out as possible. I mean, it's not one time, but it was a bunch of times where I felt like, hey, you know what? We are responsible for delivering these animals to their destination to get a positive outcome. And a lot of times, it was helping other departments, but it was also doing our job. But it felt good to do our job and help these departments at the same time to get these animals a live outcome, you know, to get them a home.
Yeah.
And I know it's not a certain time, but, you know, when I was in Flow, it was just extremely difficult, you know, position to be in, but at the end of the day, it always felt okay, like, you did it, and you feel great, and you get home, and you're like, man, we moved a lot of animals today. We moved, like, 70 animals today, and it felt really good.
Yeah.
You know, like, 50 of them to adoptions, and they're going to get seen even more now. So it felt really good all the time. Like I said, it was very hard, but at the end of the day, it felt really good, especially, like, on Clear the Shelters and stuff like that. It's just amazing that, you know, heartworm dogs get out, all these animals that get out that wouldn't normally get out. It just feels great because there's just so many animals that go out at those times.
That's awesome. So what are you looking forward to the most?
I am dead set on getting these cat numbers up on our live release, and I am working with our medical staff, working with my cat staff, and working with everybody to try and get these numbers up. I'm very much looking forward to having above 90% live release, hopefully soon. I mean, just working with the cats, I'm very excited to even be in there and be able to teach the things I've learned, you know, from best friends, from Awesome Pets Alive, and and teach them moving forward. And I'm really happy to say, hey, you know what? We can do this now.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get in trouble or, you know, not time manage correctly. Not that we got in trouble back then, but we didn't have the time.
Yeah.
And we had to say, hey, you know what? We have to take care of that later. And now we can say, hey, you know what? Go ahead and put on a gown and cuddle with that cat for a little bit if he's not feeling good.
Yeah.
And other stuff like that. It's just really exciting to move forward and have the opportunity to just have a good time with the cats and just get them out and alive.
So do you feel that you're the same Waylon that started at PVAC?
Definitely not, no. I've absorbed so much knowledge from best friends, from Awesome Pets Alive, from my staff around me, the people that have been here a short time, long time. I just feel completely different. I just liked animals back then. Now I love animals, and I want to, you know, reach the goals that we've set in place for ourselves. And it just, it went from, you know, hey, this is a cool job working with animals, I love animals, and now it's, I love animals and we're going to try and save every life. It just feels really nice.
That's amazing. And I think that's a perfect place to stop today, Waylon.
Alrighty.
So thank you so much
for
being a part of this. I know you're super busy and I know you got some cats to cuddle.
Right,
so,
of course.
So thank you so much. And again, join us next week for another episode of the Underdogs of Animal Welfare. My name is Michael Bricker and I will see you soon. Thank you. Perfect. What do you think?
It was very fun.